Because you know it's all about that grace, no trouble. It's all about that grace, no trouble. It's all about that grace, no trouble. It's all about that grace,
great.
Yeah, I ain't perfect, and neither are you. I just can't make it like I'm supposed to do. But I got my Jesus and all of his grace, and that's how I'm saved, by grace and through faith, yes. You do your good deeds, but it's a bucket drop. You'll never earn your way. Come on now, make it stop. He knows our righteousness is not enough. And so he covers us with grace from the bottom to the top. Yeah, my Bible, it tells me don't worry about your life. It says that all my good deeds are like filthy rags inside.
Filthy.
You know I won't earn my way into heaven that way. So it's only because of his grace that I sing the song. Because you know it's all about that grace, no trouble. It's all about that grace, no trouble. It's all about that grace, no trouble. It's all about that grace. Ha! God sent his only son, and his salvation is for everyone. It's not about us, it's what he has done. And I'm here to tell you that he covers us with grace from the bottom to the top. Yeah, my Bible, it tells me don't worry about tomorrow. It says that all my good deeds are like filthy rags inside. The filthy. You know I won't earn my way into heaven that way. Oh, because you know it's all about that grace, no trouble. It's all about that grace, no trouble. It's all about that grace, no trouble. It's all about that grace, about that grace.
It's all about that grace. Grace, God's amazing grace. Over the last 3 weeks, we've been allowing God to just immerse us in that grace. And I'm praying that this weekend, you'll go out drenched in it. That God will just overwhelm you with his grace. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Ken started this series talking about God's saving grace. That grace that transforms and changes us from being sinners to being followers of Jesus. It's the good news. And when we experience God's saving grace, we feel forgiveness. In fact, the scripture tells us in Acts 15, it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved. Because of God's amazing grace, we go from death to life. Last weekend, Pastor Ken talked to us about God's transforming grace, the grace that changes us and helps us become what he intended for us to be. And that transforming grace is our hope. I can have hope for the future because of what God's working in me today. Amen? And in Philippians, this is the verse Pastor Ken led us in. It says, God is at work within you, helping you want to obey him and helping you do what he wants. We're grateful for that saving grace that helps us feel forgiven. We're grateful for that transforming grace that helps us feel hope. And this weekend, we're going to talk about God's sustaining grace, his grace that helps us every single day. In fact, he declares to us in 2 Corinthians, my grace is sufficient for you. God has just enough grace to help you walk through, experience, have victory, so that grace wins every time. Amen? I'm going to invite everyone to stand with me. We're going to declare the word of the Lord together by reading from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. Let's declare it for the glory of God. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Let's read it again. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Dear Lord, we thank you for your presence here. The most important thing today is what you want to speak to everyone in the sound of my voice. In this room, around campus, online, in Milpitas, in Santa Cruz, we're believing, Lord, that you're going to work by your Spirit today to just let us experience your grace like never before, because we are your masterpiece. You are at work forming and shaping and creating beauty out of every part, every experience, every circumstance of our life. We ask that we will all leave this place with greater peace, greater hope, a greater sense of your presence. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. As you're being seated, turn to somebody next to you and say, "You are a masterpiece." The title of the message this weekend is The Art of Grace. Say that with me. The Art of Grace. God, the master artist, is busy at work creating a masterpiece in your life, even in the circumstances you're facing now. The ushers are going to come down the aisle. If you don't have an outline, they're in the bulletin. You can take it out. We'd love for you to take notes so that this truth will stay with you throughout this day, throughout this week, and in the weeks to come, because God wants to speak life and truth into you this day. The first understanding, as you open up the insert and look inside, is this. The master artist always has a design. The master artist always has a design. God has a plan for you. You were born for a reason, not just by chance. God has a purpose for you, and he is busy creating a masterpiece in your life. Even though the canvas looks crazy right now, there's things you don't understand on that canvas, God is forming a masterpiece out of your life. And we know that because the scripture says in Jeremiah chapter 29, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." God has a plan for your life, a purpose. You're not a mistake. You're not an afterthought. You have a purpose, and a masterpiece is being formed in your life. The plan of God since before time has to do with Christ coming and giving his life on the cross. Now, this weekend, we're going to look at some masterpieces that have been created by artists to help us understand the masterpiece of his word and the masterpiece of his work in you. And this is by Salvador Dali. He's one of the first surrealists. He had a dream, and when he woke up, this is the painting he worked on. He's got these triangles working to speak of the Trinity, the gravity pulling down on Christ's body, speaking of the weight of sin that gave way to grace. The original is actually worth $127 million. Now, not this one. Otherwise, we'd have ushers up here protecting it. But this speaks to us about the plan that God has. The plan that includes, from the beginning of time, the grace of God demonstrated on the cross, that he has a design, a purpose for all of creation, for all of us, and for you specifically. God has a design, a plan. He's a master artist with direction in your life. The second understanding you'll see here is that the master artist is always with you. The master artist is always with you. Here's the incredible truth related to this. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He is always there wanting to let you know that he is creating a masterpiece in your life. In fact, in Hebrews, we read these encouraging words. It says, "Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We can approach the throne of grace at any time to receive the grace God has for us. Now, this masterpiece is by Rembrandt. It's a painting of Christ on the Sea of Galilee with the disciples in the middle of the storm. This is when the wind and the waves are blowing and it seems overwhelming. But even though the disciples are in the middle of the storm, Christ is with them. And as a result, in just seconds after this painting, Jesus says, "Peace, be still." And when he says, "Peace, be still," the wind and the waves cease. Here is a powerful truth about God's grace. God's sustaining grace meets us at our point of need. Wherever you are right now in your journey, whatever storm you're facing, whether it's confusion on the outside or the inside, whatever it is you're dealing with, at your point of need is where Christ wants to meet you this weekend. In fact, we wouldn't know that God's a healer unless we were sick. We wouldn't know that God's a provider unless we needed provision. We wouldn't know that God could bring peace unless we were in a storm. And the very purpose of the situation and circumstance you face may be so that God can reveal his grace for who he is to you right now in that storm. Can we give God praise that he is with us? He is with us. He is with us in the middle of that storm. And there's another truth that's important I want to help us understand that relates to this. It's this: participate, don't anticipate. I want you to circle the word participate. Say that with me. Participate, don't anticipate. You're saying, Pastor Wayne, what do you mean by that? Well, let me explain it to you. Sometimes we spend so much time anticipating what could go wrong. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if that doesn't work? What if this doesn't work? Oh, what if that takes place? What if that happens? You know, you see things on the news, you know, this is what's happening. Oh no, what if that happens to me? We spend so much energy, anxiety, fear, struggle, frustration over what might happen that we drain today of the grace that God has for us now. But if you will participate in the grace that God has for today, he has more than enough grace for grace to win in your life right now what you're facing. Amen? Hallelujah. So participate in the grace that he has for you today. Don't spend all your time anticipating what happens. Because, you know, Murphy's Law says, whatever can go wrong will go wrong. But here's what God's grace law says. Whatever can go right can go right. And that's what we need to lean into. Lean into God's grace that's available for you today. Amen? Amen. The third understanding is this. The master artist is always working. The master artist is always working. You know, some artists, they start working on a piece and they walk away for a few hours or they walk away for a few days or months. And there's some artists that leave a canvas for years until they come back to it. But not God. He is always at work on your life, shaping and forming, sometimes in ways you can't imagine or see. In fact, in 2 Corinthians, Paul writes this, God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Let's say that together. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. What grace? Grace. What grace? All grace. He has more than enough grace to put in your life so that grace wins, the power of Christ in you. In fact, I have a test for you to tell whether you're experiencing God's sustaining grace or not. You'll see it on the screen. Here's how it goes. Less grace, less peace. More grace, more peace. Let's say that together. Less grace, less peace. More grace, more peace. Here's what that means. If you are experiencing peace, then you're leaning into the grace of God. But if you don't have peace, that's because you're not experiencing and receiving the grace that God has for you right now in the midst of what you're facing. God wants to pour out that grace in your life. Here we have a painting by Van Gogh, one of the post-impressionists. He actually painted this when he was in a mental asylum, looking out the window at the field there. And he painted this painting called The Starry Night. Within the midst of the dark night, you have light shining through. You have the light breaking through the darkness, and that's what grace does. In the midst of whatever darkness and frustration you're facing, the light of God's grace wants to shine through because light always wins over darkness. Grace always wins every time. If we lean into the grace of God, then we will have more peace. In fact, if you start to not feel peace, if anxiety and frustration and concern and struggle are overwhelming you, say, God, I know what I need to do. I'm not having peace because I'm not leaning into your grace. Show me how to receive the grace that you have because you are at work in my life. In fact, one of the most powerful statements in the New Testament is this. You find it repeatedly. multiple times in the New Testament. It says, grace to you. Grace to you. Now, what were they saying when they said that? Were they saying, I want you to have a theological understanding of the unmerited favor of God? No, it's not about some kind of theological truth. It's not some kind of insight or training piece. Grace to you means this. May there be an ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in you. Let's say that together. May there be an ongoing work of the Spirit in you. When they're saying grace to you, when they're saying, hey, I know God's grace saved you. I know God's grace pulled you out of sin. I know God's grace gave you forgiveness. I know God's grace is changing you. But I want there to be an ongoing, minute by minute, day by day, complete understanding that God's grace is an ongoing work in your life. There is enough grace for this day if you'll receive it. And it must be hard to get that message because it's repeated so many times. Grace to you. Don't forget, grace to you. Don't forget, may there be an ongoing work of the Spirit in your life. In fact, if you'll take a look at the screen, here are 32 times in the New Testament that you find that. The book of Romans starts with it and ends with it. Corinthians starts and ends with it. Galatians starts and ends with it. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Peter. They all start and end with that same phrase, grace to you. Why? Because we need to know how to lean into receiving the ongoing working of the Holy Spirit in our lives at every moment of every day. Yeah, let's give God thanks and praise for that. Hallelujah. Not only is there saving grace and transforming grace and sustaining grace, there's actually thousands of kinds of grace. How many people know there's a certain kind of grace for living in California that's different from the grace to live in Kentucky? You know, there's a California grace. There's a San Jose grace that's different than a Modesto grace. There's a Milpitas grace that's different from a Sacramento grace. There's a Santa Cruz grace, which is far different than a Palm Springs grace. Every city has its own kind of grace. Every calling has its own grace. There's an IBM grace, an IRS grace. There's an Evergreen College grace. There's a UPA grace. There's a Northern Arizona State grace. There's a grace for every place God may call us. We need a certain kind of grace for where we are. Sometimes it has to do with the season we're in. Some of us need a toddler grace. Some of us had that when we had toddlers, but this past week with our family, we didn't quite have it, huh? How many of you are around toddlers this week and you haven't been around them in a while? Yeah. There's a toddler grace. There's a teenager in the house grace. There's a my parents keep controlling my life grace. There's a my boss is getting on my nerves grace. There's a neighbor that keeps putting his garbage in my driveway grace. There's a grace we need for getting out of debt. There's a grace we need for sickness. There are lots of grace. In fact, the next blank on the screen says this, God, give me blank grace. And I don't know what kind of grace you need. Maybe it's a grace for your neighborhood, your workplace, your season of life. Maybe it's my husband's on my last nerve grace. Maybe it's my wife is driving me crazy grace. I don't know what your grace you need, but right in there, God, this is the grace I need from you today. Amen? Amen? I need grace to get through this chemistry class, or I need grace to get through this job interview, or I need grace to pay this bill. God has more than enough grace for you. More than enough. Now, if you turn on the back of your outline, there's some actions that I believe we need to participate in order for grace to be released. Yes, if I experience God's saving grace, I will feel forgiveness. Yes, if I experience God's transforming grace, I will feel hope. Yes, if I feel God's sustaining grace, I will feel peace. But sometimes when we experience that grace, there are things we have to participate in. The next one is this, speak grace. Say that with me, speak grace. I am with you, the scripture says, and that's how we live that out with those that God's placed in our life. God wants us to create space for grace. Again, let's declare that together. Create space for grace through Christ. Another painting, this one by Sebastiano Ricci, is one that was produced to demonstrate a story in the Bible. It's when the Pharisees brought a woman taken in adultery before Jesus, threw her to the ground and said, "What do you want to do with her?" They anticipated a particular action by Christ. But instead of what they expected, he did something different. He demonstrated grace. And not only are we to speak grace, but we are to live grace. Say that with me. Live grace. You and I get to live grace. That's the calling that he has placed upon us. And that's what Jesus did. Most of us, like the Pharisees, tend to want to draw a line. We want to make this line, I'm here, you're there. I'm this, that woman, she's there. We like to draw lines of separation. And one of the reasons we do is because then we can pick up a stone and hurl it, because I'm not like she is. I'm not like they are. Our tendency is to draw lines that separate us from others. You're this gender, I'm that gender. You're this race, I'm that race. You're this political party, I'm that political party. We tend to want to draw lines and say who's in, who's out, who's with me, who's not, so that we can throw our self-righteous stones at others. But Jesus, in this story of the woman taken in adultery, reached down and drew in the sand. Now, there's a lot of discussion about what he wrote, and nobody really knows. But I think the spirit of what he did was this. Instead of drawing lines of separation, Jesus drew a circle and said, I'm with her. I stand with her. He says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And here's the blank to fill in. Rather than lines of separation, draw circles of grace. Let's say that together. Rather than lines of separation, draw circles of grace. That's what God wants us to do, to drop our stones, to stop drawing lines, and to draw circles of grace. Here's an amazing truth that we speak a lot at Cathedral of Faith. We've been blessed to be a We've been blessed to be a, but I want to change that slightly or add to it. I think we've been graced to be a gracing. We've been graced to be a gracing. God pours out grace in your life. Whatever line of separation separated you from God, he eliminated to say, no, I'm here in the circle with you. I'm with you. I've given you grace so that you can demonstrate that grace to others. Because how quickly are we to experience grace and then draw a line that separates and says, I would never do that. You might be saying, Pastor Wayne, that's pretty hard. And that's why the third choice is this. Grow in grace. Grow in grace. And the passage of scripture there from 2 Peter says, grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God has a plan for you to not only experience, but to grow in grace. Now, over here is Kandinsky's famous abstract. He was the first abstract artist in the world. This is his famous concentric circles. And that's exactly what grace looks like. It draws circles of grace that says, I'm with you. Let's do this together. I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. God wants you to be the grace to others that he's been to you. And that's why we get to put a face on grace. Put a face on grace. People can be around you and says, I know what grace is like because I've seen it in her life. I know what grace is like because when I get around him, I experience that. Put a face on grace. As I said, 32 times in the New Testament, grace to you. May you have that ongoing work of the Holy Spirit. In fact, if you go through the Bible and go to the very last verse of the Bible, you might think, how would God want to end the scriptures? How would he finish the last book of the Bible? What's the very last thing he would say? Do you know what the very last verse of the Bible is? It says this in Revelation 22, 21. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. Let's say that together. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. God wants to pour out his grace in you this weekend. And sometimes it requires a desperation in us. I don't know what the storm is that you're facing. I don't know what you're sensing in your own spirit, what the need for grace is in you. But God says, come to me. And I'm believing this weekend, God's going to have you walk out of here feeling forgiven, feeling hope, and overwhelmed with peace because you've received his grace. What a powerful song we sang at the beginning of service that Pastor Vaughn and Pastor Irene wrote. Grace, it's all I have. We're going to take a few moments to hear their story behind this song as we prepare for the Lord to minister his grace to us. Take a look at the screens.
This is a song that has come out of our personal experience. It's very near and dear to us. I really got to this place of desperation, of brokenness, and of even darkness, of where it's all I have. It's the only hope I have is the grace of God. And so I had the image, the picture of, you know, just standing, you know, almost of a kid, you know, a ragamuffin kid, you know, wanting some food to eat and, you know, not having enough and just kind of pulling out his pockets and there's nothing in there. He can't afford it. But grace is that hand that extends and provides. And I think that's the image I had in my heart and approaching this song. And really, as a ragamuffin, as a beggar, as someone who's broken and empty, you know, just extending my hands and just saying, grace, it's all I have. But as Irene was saying, it's when you experience that grace, you realize it may be all you have, but it is all that you need. And that's the hope, right? The hope is grace gives us hope. Grace gives us a future. Grace gives us a chance. And so this song, you know, even when it comes to the bridge, that's when the song was pretty much completed. I was in a broken state and I heard a pastor come and he mentioned he was talking about grace and he just threw out the statement, it's all I have. And it grabbed me in my spirit. And I was like, I want to sing that. I want to declare that. And you know, in working with the song, we created a space to where that's what we sing. That's what we declare. And I didn't want it to, the feel of the song to have kind of a resolution or this place of finality that you feel in some other songs with grace, which are beautiful and powerful and they mean so much to me, such as An Amazing Grace or something like that. But this feeling and this approach to grace was from a beggar that was down to his last chance of grabbing onto grace and crying out for it. And so that's the heartbeat behind the song.
So wherever you're at, whatever is going on in your life, the reason that we speak is because there is a hope no matter where it is, and that is in Jesus Christ. We hope that this song will encourage you, will strengthen you, will remind you of how great our God is, and will give you the strength and the hope to move forward, to stand up and get up and say, victory is mine because his grace is sufficient and his grace is more than enough.
Hallelujah. Here's what the enemy loves to do. The enemy loves to draw a line between you and God and says, you know, you're no good. You're not going to amount to anything. The enemy loves to draw lines between you and somebody else so his grace won't flow through, between you and God so that you won't experience. But here's what Jesus does. He creates a circle. He says, I want to put that circle of grace around you. And so he creates this place that says, look, whatever you're going through, I'm right here in the middle. I gave my life for you. I died for everything you need. That cross is squarely in the middle of that circle of grace he wants to draw in your life. And here's what I'm going to invite you to do. In just a moment, the worship team, Pastor Von Irene, they're going to lead us in this song, Grace, It's All I Have. And if you need God's saving grace today, maybe you've never been forgiven of your sin, this is the moment to let God's grace cleanse you. Maybe you need God's transforming grace. You need God to help you change. There's things you haven't been able to do on your own. Or maybe you're in the middle of one of those storms and you need God's sustaining grace. You need that toddler grace, or my boss is driving me crazy grace, or I got to pass this class grace. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to invite you as they sing this song to make your way here to the altar. We're going to come forward. In fact, I'm going to ask everyone to stand right now wherever you are. And as they sing this song, if you would say, today, Pastor Wayne, I want to receive grace, I'm going to invite you to come here. Now, I do need to give you a word of caution. Not everybody here has had the grace of God, so I'd encourage you to bring your valuables with you. I don't want you to come get a boatload of grace and go back and find your purse is gone. That would really drain that grace. But God wants to pour out his grace in you right now. And I believe this is one of those powerful moments that you're going to mark in the sand as saying, that was the day that God's peace so overwhelmed me, God's hope so filled me, because I understood his grace like never before. Grace to you. So as they sing this song, make your way here to the front, squeeze in close so we can allow the Lord to minister life to us.
Your grace, your grace is sufficient for me. It's more than I need. Your grace is sufficient for me. It's more than I need.
One more time, say.
Your grace, your grace is sufficient for me. It's more than I need. Your grace, your grace is sufficient for me. It's more than I need. And your grace is the hope of my life. It's all sufficient for me. It's more.
I'm going to ask you all through the congregation, in the balcony, in the hallways, here in the front, form circles right now. Just take hands and form small circles, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, however many. We just want to form circles of grace in this moment for God to pour out His Spirit. Lord, You know every one of us. You know what we're experiencing. Everyone in this room, You know those online right now, what they're dealing with, that You are with us. You are in the middle of every circle, wanting to pour out Your grace. Lord, You know those who need forgiveness today. You know those who need Your power for change. You know those who need Your strength to sustain them. What they're dealing with at work, at school, at home, in their emotions, in their finances, in their careers. You know where they are and You know the struggle that they're facing. But Lord, make Your grace known. Grace to You. The ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Pour out Your grace in ways like never before. Lord, where we've seen frustration, where we've measured everything but it can't happen, let us see that grace does win, that You want to pour out Your strength in us. You have enough strength and grace to help us through this circumstance. No matter how much the wind and waves are blowing, no matter how many accusations are coming against us, rather than drawing lines of separation, You draw a circle of grace right now that includes every one of us. You also, Lord, want to help us because some of us are having a hard time showing grace to others in our life. We don't like their attitude. We don't like their political persuasion. We don't like who they are and what they do. But Lord, show us that You have graced us to be a gracing, that You would help us be those through whom Your grace flows. Let this be the hallmark of this church family, that we would be a place where the grace of God rules and reigns and works in us and through us for Your glory. And as a result, we will feel free and forgiven. We will feel hope in anticipation. We will have peace in our hearts because You are a great and mighty God. We thank You for Your grace. Lord, I just speak grace to you. Grace to you. Drink of that grace. Be overwhelmed with that grace. Overflow with that grace. And may that grace flow through you. Because, Lord, You are with us. You are working. And You have a design. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give God thanks and praise for His goodness this weekend. Hallelujah. And I don't know, somebody's watching online right now. I just want you to know you're not forgotten. You are loved and the Lord is with you. And He's going to pour out His grace in you in a way like you've never known. And even though you feel all alone right now, you are not alone. The Lord is with you. Amen. In fact, everybody, can you just all reach your hand toward the back for the camera? Somebody's out there who just needs God's prayer right now. I just want to let you know you're not forgotten. God is working in you. Lord, strengthen that person who's watching online right now. Let them know that You will strengthen them. You will reveal Yourself to them in Jesus' name.